said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round your radio now for Uzi and Aaron.
It's gonna be a huge show. Ed Cavalli, Kate Langbrook will be coming on after 7.
Yes, hypercarding today, man. Remember our friends at Mole Park Hypercarding?
Yeah, I do.
That's them today.
Hypercarding is the best fun. You want family entertainment for your last weekend of the kids? This is it. This gets you out with a bang. Yeah. We might need a jury, actually.
Oh, a jury, yes. Straight away.
I think we need a jury. Our button pusher, our man behind the scenes, Nick, has he's gifted his...
Yeah, he has given a gift to a mate of his that... is so...
controversial.
Thank you.
Controversial.
So controversial.
Is it right? Is it wrong? He's getting married. Is that right, Nick?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a fiance.
Yeah. So it was a Bucks party gift, was it? Is that right?
No, just a Christmas gift.
A Christmas gift for someone about to get married.
That's even better.
Yeah.
But we do need people to call us. You just have to say yes or no, right or wrong.
And you get a $160 hypercarding voucher. Hear that? $160 worth. 13 10 60 lines are open. The hypercarding in Moorpark Fast Futuristic Go-Karting. The new membership program includes free and discounted races, arcade games and more, but you get yours for free. 13 10 60 lines are open. Couldn't be easier.
Get on the blower.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
Yeah, we are talking about gifts because Nick, our illustrious button pusher, part-time model, you decided to give one of your mates a lovely Christmas gift. Now, was he already engaged when you gave him this Christmas gift?
Yeah, he got engaged a few months ago.
So the gift was in relation to the fact that he was about to get married?
No, the gift was just in relation to it's Christmas time. Every year I'll get Maddie something, he's one of those people who just has everything, so it's hard to buy for, and every passing Christmas gets harder and harder and harder, because I want to try and, you know, one up
my family and friends say I'm very hard to buy for, so they only buy me vegan
food. That's nonsense.
Food.
I would know what to get you easy. I could think of 5 gifts immediately you would like.
Can you create a WhatsApp group and just get all my family and friends in on it so that they can have good presents to give me? So anyway,
give me some names of the friends.
I will do that now. Right, but so what did you get him, Nick?
Well, he's just about to move into a new house, and so I thought maybe like a service would be a good idea, something that he could use, and so I got
experiences are good ideas.
Very good idea.
Yeah. Services and could you combine the two? I wonder.
Services and experiences.
Did you combine the two?
Well, I think I got a cleaner. I got him a cleaner.
Cleaners are great.
That's like
a pair of socks. You know, they're handy, and you'll never regret having a cleaner.
No, you never regret having
unless
a cleaner.
They steal off you, I suppose.
Oh, but
well, sometimes when you come home and they haven't, there's a spot right in the middle of the. The lino, or you know, like, how do they miss that?
I know, and then what do you have to do? You have to bring them back, and you sort of put their face right next to it. You rub their nose in it normally, don't you?
No, I don't. I never even mention it, and I've never sacked a cleaner either. They go until they sack themselves.
Enough of this.
So, what's the controversy, Nick, about getting your mate a cleaning voucher?
Cleaners are just so boring as a gift, and so I did a bit of research, and I found a service called Kinky Cleaners, and they come around. And they clean your house, but they clean it when they're naked, which is a bit more exciting.
Who is your friend who's preparing for a wedding? You got him Kinky Cleaners.
Yeah.
Do you know his fiance?
Yes, I do. Yeah, Brittany. She wasn't. She was there when he opened the gift, and look, she didn't seem ecstatic about it. She did. She tried to find the silver lining, and she was like, "Oh well, I guess you know we do need a." We do need the house clean, so
this
that's
a real gangster move.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
He hasn't used the cleaning service yet?
He hasn't used it yet. They moved into the place a couple of days back, so I've been calling him. They're moving in together.
These naked cleaners are going to clean this newlywed's house.
Yeah. And so you call up the cleaning service and they say, all right, what's his type? And so I sort of described his, you know, previous girlfriends, and they said, oh, yeah, we've got a lovely lady who's just flown over from Toronto. I think she fits the bill.
Canadian.
And so they send them over. Man. And then a part of the service is it's flirty. There's a lot. He's like, there'll be a lot of banter going back and forth, which is going to be really enjoyable for him.
Is this appropriate?
Yes.
That's the question we're asking.
All right. Do you want to come back with our jury?
I think we have to. Because I got
a lot of thoughts. 30-10-60, lines are open for $160 worth of an experience at hypercarding. Is it appropriate to give your engaged friend kinky cleaning for Christmas that they have to then come and do at the house he's just moved in with his fiance?
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
We are now in the middle of a controversy. Our man Nick, who pushes the buttons here, is thoughtful and got one of his best friends a gift for Christmas. The guy's getting married. Have they set a date? Or I know they're engaged.
Yeah, no date. No date at this point.
Right. So, but
it's on the rocks. It might not happen. That's right.
But he's moving in with it.
But that's often the step before the engagement breaks down. So I know what Nick's doing here and I applaud it.
He's undermining what could be a beautiful long-term relationship by buying him a cleaning company voucher, and it's Kinky Cleaners, and they... How are they dressed when they turn up to your house, Nick?
They're just dressed in. I mean, it's either a trench coat or it's normal clothes. But then they come in and then they strip off. And apparently, you can put in your suggestions of what you'd like to see them wear, and then they will sort of tailor their cleaning outfit to you. And then halfway through the clean, then they take it all off.
Halfway through, so you're there, they are dressed as an Uber Eats driver, and then slowly they lose the helmet, then the backpack, then the vest.
Exactly.
Yeah, before you know it, they've got nowhere to put your tip.
Oh.
Nah. Is that true? So they're nude. Yep.
I'm not sure we can
talk to people, mate.
All right, I'd love to talk to people. Amanda from Warrenora, is it an appropriate gift?
I don't think so. No, I'm voting no on that one.
Amanda.
Amanda, have you got a boyfriend or a husband or anything, Amanda?
Husband, yeah, I'm married.
Right, so say one of his mates gives him that gift for Christmas. Does that mate become less of a mate?
it's a bit strange. I would appreciate the cleaning, but maybe they could. Yeah,
But Amanda, there was a crucial detail as well. Remember, Nick said that they asked Nick what his mate's type is, and Nick said, "quote I described some ex-girlfriends." So what if?
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. So what if the kinky cleaner rocks up and you look at her and go, "Hang on, that looks like the woman that my husband was dating when I got hold of him." What would you think about that?
The whole thing's just weird. I'm still
alone.
Here we go.
I've had something to do with a similar, and it might be the same service. So I've talked to a guy running a service like this.
Here we go.
And they also do men, Amanda. What if a nude man was on there would turn up? Would that be something you would think about?
No. I wouldn't actually. Imagine if my kids came home.
If they did any cleaning at all, the cleaner wouldn't be necessary. So, thank you, Amanda. That's a hard no.
All right. Well, here's Tim from Engadine. Oh, I know what he's into. Tim, it's a great gift, isn't it?
Yeah, mate, I reckon it's a great gift.
Thank you, Tim.
Right, so, Tim, if one of your mates did it, how would your wife feel about it?
I don't think she'd really appreciate it, but I reckon if she was on the other foot, they'd just find it funny.
Yeah, right. Oh, so if you...
If it was a naked man.
If someone had bought her the naked man, I reckon they'd just find it funny.
But you know what? I'm going to go a no harm, no foul situation here. What about if your wife's out for the day and you happen to have a day at home, a day off work, and then she gets home and the house is completely clean, she thinks you've done it.
Brilliant.
She's not to know who did it. She doesn't have security cameras set up, does she, Tim?
No, she does not.
All right, so that's one all.
Okay, so that's one all. And a really good idea from you as well. Cassie from St. Mary's has the casting vote. Is it a good gift, Cassie, the kinky cleaning, or not?
No, sorry, guys.
Oh, Cassie.
Come on.
Cassie.
What's the problem,
don't
Cassie?
Don't get me wrong. Like, the whole idea could be great. Like, if my partner got it, I'd be like, okay, we can have a naked female and a naked guy to kind of make it fair.
Great idea. Great idea.
If I come home, there's a naked girl walking around the house cleaning up. I'll go pretty psycho.
This happened in the street last night. It was weird. We're just hanging out at home. And all of a sudden I heard music from the street. This is what I heard.
Oh, great.
My kids said, "Dad, what's that loud music?"
You're joking.
Yes. No, I'm not. No, I'm serious. That's what they said. I said, "Guys, It's Mr. Whippy.
All of it's happened.
It's the ice cream van.
Oh my God.
It's coming down our street.
Oh, you're blessed.
It has not happened since I was a child.
No.
That actually ends up in your street.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and guess where they parked?
No.
Right out the front.
Get out of it.
They were right.
Get out of it.
They, people were lining up in our driveway to get their Mr. Whippy ice cream, their soft serve.
Oh.
It was. And
did you sprint out? Did the kids sprint? Yeah, I
ran
tonight.
Out.
Yeah, you ran
out. Because I wanted to see it. Yeah. And I saw it. And I tried to take a photo and my phone had run out of power. So I said to one of my daughters, get your camera. And she went and got her iPad and I took photos of Mr. Whippy at the front of our house. And I said, who wants an ice cream?
Definitely.
You know what my kids said?
Oh, no.
They said, no, Dad, we're scared. They thought it was like a horror movie.
Oh, see, that's what's happened. The internet's
ruined
them.
My son said, Dad, are you okay?
What do you mean?
I said, he thought I would be freaking out. So Mr. Whippy now is like, yeah, it's like they associate it with some
but
sort of.
But why? Has there been a.
I don't know. They associate it with abductions, I think. Is it Mr. Whippy van turns up, kid goes to get ice cream and the kid's never seen again.
Is that in The Purge? That is ridiculous.
I put it to anyone listening that they have not had a Mr. Whippy van turn up in their street. Well, who are we going to ask?
Anne from Punch Bowl, have you had Mr. Whippy turn up in your street?
I have.
When?
When?
Well, every time we hear it go by, because I live near a park, so there's a lot of
there you
kids.
Go.
Yeah. So I'm really lucky to hear him go by, and it's fantastic. I love Mr. Whippy.
What do you get, Anne? What do you get?
Oh, I just like a bit of everything, but I love having nuts put on.
Yeah, you've got to get the nuts. You're a classy woman,
nuts
Anne.
Nuts and chocolate.
Yeah. You know,
get the whole hog. Yeah. So you really, Anne, so you've heard that music in your house, like go past your house recently?
Yes, about a week ago.
My God, I had no idea.
No, but that's interesting. The park is a key. Anne's right. It's a key because normally what they do is they just set up at a park and make you come to them.
I know that. So, but I mean, this is in my street.
No, I know that.
You know, has it ever gone down?
Chantel from Liverpool.
Hello.
Has Mr. Whippy ever rocked up in your street?
Oh, he comes and rocks up at my school.
Oh, your school. That's cheeky.
is the van allowed into the school or is it on the street beside the school?
It's on the street, and I'm just to clarify, I'm not a student, so you're not going to see just the kids running out there. There's going to be teachers in line as well.
So hang on, does Mr. Whippy turn up at lunchtime?
No, he rocks up at like 3 p.m.
Oh, after timing. School. That's school smart. Trouble. That's smart. And how often, Chantel?
Oh, it's rare, to be honest. Not as often enough.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Yeah, that's smart.
I don't think they would be allowed at schools just to rock up to schools, but maybe. Anyway, so it's happening more than I thought. But, I mean, have people never experienced.
What about Robbie? Robbie from Engadine. Robbie, ever had Mr. Whippy on your street?
Not currently where I live, but I was just camping with the kids on the weekend, and we had to go past the campsite, and the kids' ears pricked up like bunnies out in the field.
So yes. Did you allow them to run to the van?
No, unfortunately, it was just a little bit too far away, far enough for them to hear the tune, but
just to know what they were missing out on. The Bachelors finishes on Sunday, and we were promised, and you and I were in, because we heard this promo, there are three Bachelors, and this was the promo that Channel 10 was running from the start.
Thomas, Felix and Jed, which two will find love and propose?
Oh, proposals.
So so they must be on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Two proposals.
Yeah.
Either Thomas, Felix or Jed, one of them misses out, but the other two, we imagine now are married. Are they or not?
Well, because as we asked if we could please speak to one, or if not all of the Bachelors this morning to celebrate.
Yes.
And we were told that they were unavailable.
Mm.
And you made an excellent point as soon as you heard that, because that's odd that the people who are the stars of a reality show are unavailable to promote it.
Yeah, for the finale.
Yes, that's never happened in the history of Bachelors, and you and I have been doing this since The Bachelor started. That has never happened.
And I love the franchise.
So do I.
I love Usher.
I love Usher.
Kate's coming in. Kate, come in. All right. Hang on, so come
Kate's
in.
Kate's here.
Kate's
good morning.
Here. So we're talking Bachelors.
Yeah, I know. That's what lured me in.
Yes, Sunday night is the finale. But we haven't been able to get hold of any of the Bachelors.
None of them.
So, Kate, first time ever, as you know, you have been doing this since it started.
Yeah, they're always trying to flog the Bachelors.
Not allowed. Not even the ones that when they knew Honey Badger and Blake, when they knew they were hashtag duds, they were still pushing them.
Yeah.
Yes. Right? Well, what about the one with the weird accent?
Which one?
He falls in love with all of them, Thomas.
Oh, yeah, Thomas. Yeah,
he
yeah,
falls
yeah.
in love with every single yeah, girl you know that he talks to versus the big, tall
Felix?
Guy who looks
Felix?
Like he's got the mouth full of well, veneers.
Yeah, well,
he doesn't like any of them.
Well, that's who we're dealing with at the moment.
Just before we get to that, my speculation, though, is that because it was filmed so long ago that,
right.
that there's, you know. They've just not been able to hold. They haven't been able to hold on. They have not been able to hold on to any of these relationships.
Oh, of course not. Well, there are hardly any relationships.
Well, look, we don't know.
What about the weird, is he the Christian rock guy?
Oh, Jed. Jed.
Yeah.
That I didn't. I.
It's really intriguing.
I mean, you know me. I love Christian rock. And I haven't.
We all do.
And
I haven't Creed? Come
I know he's Christian.
Is it?
I didn't yeah. know he's Christian. Is he Christian
I think
rock?
He is.
Put some Creed
Christian
on, Nick.
Rock.
Arms Wide Open, Please.
Which is a great song, and I won't have any argument about it. So, but, yeah, anyway. So let's get back to this series. And the Bachelor in the past has created beautiful relationships. There's so many children.
Sam Wood.
Yeah. Or what about bloody Tim Robards?
Oh, yes. Your tennis partner.
Yeah, he's got a couple. They've got a kid, and, you know, they're great. There's three of them. Maddie J.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Two. They got two kids, him
yeah,
and Laura.
Yeah, so it's been a very successful franchise. This series, what's going to go on?
Well, this is what happened when Felix took Jess on the home visit to meet his parents, and she brought someone with her.
I'm trying to introduce a girl to my parents.
Mwah, I'm Jess.
And there's Damien.
Damien. Oh, Damien. Damien.
Damien.
Oh, she brought, is she the, she's the
she's
open
swinger.
Relationship
I know, yeah.
or whatever.
She brought a boyfriend to meet the potential husband's family. I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can do it.
The mum, I feel for the parents in this situation because Jess's poor mother, Kate, she's been lumped with this. There's going to be cameras.
What does she do?
Have a listen. She tries her very level best.
Sure.
Are you going to be able to step away?
Step away from, sorry?
From Jess? Or are you going to keep it up?
Okay, so I honestly think that we will always be in each other's lives from this point until the end.
Until the end?
Red flag.
Thanks, Damo.
It's a red flag. But could Jess possibly have Damien, her boyfriend, as her matron of honour? Right now we're talking, sadness.
Yes.
Well,
pets.
When you have a pet and yes. you love them deeply,
yep.
but they don't live as long as we do.
Yes. So often. Yeah.
What?
Not
okay.
many
that
Look
do. For the exception.
Turtles.
Parrots.
Oh, that's right. Darwin's turtle that was at Australia Zoo.
Hundreds of years old.
Mm.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, mind you, who could prove that? Anyway. So my hairdresser last year lost her little dog, Fluke. And she'd had Fluke for, I reckon,
okay.
I'm going to say 15 years.
Yeah.
Oh, Fluke was one of those little dogs. You know, they live long.
Yeah. 13 is generally the limit.
And she was Devo.
Mm.
Really, really heartbroken.
Yep.
And she said to me, she was talking me through the whole thing. She found a place that would do Fluke's ashes and then she could choose what she wanted his ashes put
yep.
into.
Yep.
And she said
that
to
is
me.
That's a financial decision as well, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, sure. Everything with pets is really.
Yeah, you can spend a lot of money on those
yes.
containers.
Anyway, so
containers.
She decided that she went, I'm going to put Fluke in the backyard, Kate, because
yeah.
he loved it
yeah,
out
good.
There, right? Yep. And then I got a message. So we were kind of like she'd got the ashes. She had to go pick them up. She went to pick them up and they had the wrong container.
Yeah, well, you've got to get what you pay for.
And then she said, oh, it's really beautiful. I put him out in the backyard next to an old tree stump and blah, blah, blah. And then it all went terribly wrong. And I got this message from her.
Yeah. What happened?
Have to send pic of Fluke grave. I put a crystal ball with Buddha inside next to the fairy gnome. Anyways, must have got hot. Fire emoji. It set fire. It set fire to all the fake flowers and tree stump.
Oh, God.
Also, scorched stone. Couldn't work it out. Her son, Alex, was
God.
Like, maybe it was hit by lightning.
Oh, my God.
And then she sent a photo of it, which is just incredible.
It's like a second cremation, isn't it?
Luckily, the fence was wet. I think it had been raining.
Mm.
And so the fence was soaked, and otherwise that would have gone up
whole
as well.
Joint would have gone up.
The whole thing would have gone up. But obviously the crystal ball was like a magnifying
yeah,
glass
right.
in a
God, it's almost mystic, isn't it?
Yes.
Fluke, one last party.
Little fluke.
Little fluke.
Yeah, let's burn the joint down, Fluke was like, on the way out the door.
I'll give you ashes.
But I thought that was a lovely memorial.
Yeah.
Brief though it was. And I was wondering because of
what's
happened.
Yes, something happened in our household, which I have not spoken about publicly, and I'll come back and tell you. We had two dogs.
Yes.
One of them has passed. I'll tell you the story next.
That is next, 16.
Why do you look like you're on the... You're trying to hide a smile.
I'm not smiling. I'm not smiling.
When you go like and do the deep inhalation of breath.
No, it's very sad what happened. I'll tell you the story. I'll try to keep it together.
Yeah, of course, because we loved your dogs.
Yes.
Find out what happened.
Two dogs.
Now there's only one.
Yeah.
Three cats.
Still three.
No, there's only one cat as well.
Teddy's gone.
Okay, sorry.
And what about that one you were tricked into... taking
we
on.
Still have one cat and we've got one dog.
Okay.
Well, that's enough.
What
isn't
thought
it?
So.
Find out what happened.
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
How have you, what memorial have you got for your dearly departed pets? We've heard about shrines. Do you have a tattoo? Do you have the ashes? What do you do? We've got $160 hyper-carting voucher for you. 131060, lines are open. How do you commemorate your dearly departed pets?
Yeah, how do you remember your pet?
Don't do a crystal ball like my hairdresser did outside because the sun shone into it and it caught on fire and the tree stump next to it caught on fire and it's ashes now for dear Fluke.
So how do you remember your pet? 131060. So we had a bad, this happened a while ago. I talked about Teddy, our old cat, who Kate, remember. You remember when I got him back in 2000?
Beautiful, fat Teddy.
Me and my wife got Teddy when we were just going out back in 2006.
Big
and,
white cat.
Yeah, Teddy, a beautiful cat. So Teddy passed. Yeah. He got cancer and we had to have Teddy, what's the word, you know,
eased out.
Yes, and it was very. Yes. It was tough, but we got through it.
And also, there was a point at which you were away, and your wife was going to have to do it on her own.
Yeah, well, anyway,
and that was not right.
I got back, and we Teddy was in our arms when he passed, and we got him cremated, and the urn turned up, and Teddy is now under the sink in our laundry where Teddy used to sleep for most of his second half of his life. So Teddy, the urn is under the sink and that's great.
But then is that great?
Yeah, it's beautiful. And then a few days later though, this was a really sad situation. We've got two dogs. We had two dogs, Barkley, who we've had for 15 or 16 years as well, and Bubbles, who turned up through my TV show, Hughesy, We Have a Problem.
Yes.
Bubbles was meant to be adopted by one of the guests on the show. They reneged on the deal, and then we decided to adopt Bubbles. My wife said we should adopt Bubbles.
And Bubbles was a gorgeous... What was she? She was a bitzer.
Yeah, sort of Shih Tzu sort of cross. So this is the moment where we spoke to the woman from Denise from Paws.
Yeah.
Who was looking after Bubbles, and I was back on the radio years ago. Denise.
Yes.
We want Bubbles.
Yes.
I'm forever blowing bubbles.
So Bubbles was a beautiful dog, and Bubbles was with us for, I think, 5 or 6 years.
Really sweet girl.
Yeah, Bubbles turned up when she was about probably 6, so Bubbles lived to about the age of 12.
Mm. And then, how was Barkley with Bubbles? They were good, weren't they?
Fine, yeah, absolutely.
Which is amazing.
No issue whatsoever. They used to play together occasionally. They lived their own lives as well. But Bubbles, this is a really sad situation that happened. We took Bubbles to a groomer. I took Bubbles to a groomer a little while ago just to get a haircut.
Yeah.
And then the groomer rang me and said, can you come and pick up your dog? I'm like, yeah, we'll be there soon. I mean, can't the dog just stay there for a little while? We're, you know, about half an hour away. And they said, no, you need to pick up your dog now. I'm like, well, that's weird. Anyway, so we got to the groomers and.
Don't.
Yeah. And then Bubbles would look distressed. And I said, what's.
Oh,
Bubbles looked distressed. And I'm like, this Bubbles is. I said, what happened? They said, we don't know. And.
Not
anyway.
Like, as they've groomed her before,
yes,
so they
yes,
know what
yes.
She's normally like.
Fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So, and I said, oh, well, all right. So I walked Bubbles out.
How was she when she saw you? Was she
happy to see me, but just looked really stressed?
Right.
Like, what's going on here? And so I paid for the grooming and then took Bubbles away. And I'm in the car with my son, and I said, we've got to go to a vet because Bubbles looked so stressed. And we went to the vet, and the vet was shut. Like, what do we do? And I Googled in the car and said, what's happening here? And Google said that dogs...
What did you Google? Like, what, when you say she looks stressed...
panic attacks. I Googled
panic
attacks.
Right, so she was kind of panting.
Yes.
She was a bit agitated.
Yes.
Right.
So I Googled and they said dogs can have panic attacks when they go to groomers. She's never had one before. But I thought, oh, maybe she's having a panic attack. So we got home and went into the lounge room, and then Bubbles on my lap, and then Bubbles just wanted to get off my lap, and then Bubbles just walked under the couch, and I watched Bubbles walk under the couch. I had my wife on the phone saying there's something wrong with Bubbles. And my wife's in the car with my two daughters, and they're on loudspeaker, and then I just watched Bubbles just pass. Bubbles passed. It was in front of my eyes under the couch. And it was like, I said, and I'm explaining to my wife, I think Bubbles has passed. And it's, yes, she's been crying. My kids are crying. It was, you know, what I love that it happened at home and that Bubbles was not suffering for very long. I think Bubbles must have had a heart attack. Anyway, it was so stressful. But it was sad, you know, but I can't deal with any more. So I just went out in the backyard and dug a hole.
What? For Bubbles?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to do that?
I think so. So I dug a hole and just buried.
What, is Bubbles in your backyard?
Bubbles is in my backyard. And what can you see on my palm there? Can you see?
A black spot.
That's a blister from digging the hole, which has stayed with me and will be with me for
a
long time.
I thought you got a tattoo. Like,
it's a blister. The Bubbles.
Hang on,
blister.
I don't think you can just, like, you just live in a normal
suburb. Yeah, you're allowed to, yeah,
suburb.
Right. As long as you dig deep enough, and you've got to dig deep.
How deep?
Deep enough that other animals can't.
Don't forget you've got to dial before you dig,
well,
in case
dial
you hit a pipe.
I did hit a pipe.
Yeah, that's why you dial before you dig.
You hit a pipe?
Well, I hit an irrigation pipe that was, yes.
Irrigation not, pipe?
No, I broke
it. You don't
it.
Have an irrigation
no,
pipe?
No, we do have irrigation pipes. For reticulation, for your, like, water.
Oh, for
the
sprinkling.
Sprinklers
that.
In the backyard. I broke one of those.
For the hydro.
How deep?
How deep?
Yeah.
About a metre.
You
a meter.
Dug a metre.
I dug a metre. That's why I got blisters. So.
For Bubbles.
For Bubbles. Now, right there, Bubbles is just under our trampoline. And every time I get there, I look at Bubbles and go, there you go. Rest.
Are you using the trampoline?
My children use the trampoline.
Oh, yeah. But you're not. On the trampoline. No.
Well, very rarely. I can jump on
I
the trampoline.
I don't know. Bubbles was so cute. She would have loved all of this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But I find it undignified.
Well, I don't know. What else am I going to do?
I think there's a myriad
of
options besides burying your dog in your backyard under a trampoline.
I love the fact that Bubbles is out there.
Yeah, she would love it, actually.
But let's find out what people have done. What have you done to honour your dearly departed pet? We've got a $160 hyper-carding voucher for you to let us know, because Husey may have to do a little bit of exhuming and do something better.
I don't think you have to.
I think you might have made that up.
No, we won't.
Does that sound right to you, Ed, that you can just bury a dog in your backyard?
Of course you can bury it. People will have taught. Have you buried a pet in a backyard?
Yeah, but not if you live in the country.
All right. I tell you, people in the city have buried pets in their backyard.
The whole dog.
Yes, not,
not
yes,
the ashes.
Not, cutting
not
them in half and putting them in separate burial plots.
It's a bit decked up.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
Bubbles passed a few weeks ago. Had a heart.
I'm forever blowing bubbles.
Bubbles had a heart attack, I assume.
It was a quick...
It was quick.
It was quick, and she died at home with you.
She died at home, yes. So I watched her
but
pass.
Then you told us you buried her in the backyard.
Yeah. And I think that was the appropriate thing to do.
She wasn't a tiny dog.
Oh, no, she was pretty small. No, a big dog. She was, yeah, reasonably small. Not a large dog.
No,
and she just
but
had
she
a
wasn't.
Haircut as well, so. And she died looking beautiful because she had just gone to the groomers, remember? So
there was less of her.
It was, she looked really
smaller.
She looked really, and she, yes, was absolutely, because she was could get very hairy. So, yeah, beautiful Bubbles buried in the backyard. You think that's an issue? I don't think it's an issue.
I just think because the world's so full of rules.
Well,
I wouldn't think you're allowed to bury a dog in your backyard.
Well, those rules don't apply in Sylvania. Adriana, what did you bury in the back? Hello, what did you bury in the backyard?
We buried our pet bunny rabbits, so they were brothers, and when the first one passed away, we thought it'd be nice to bury him in the flower garden, so I totally understand where you're coming from, Husey.
Yeah, yeah.
By the end of it, the second one, he used to go visit him each afternoon. That's where we'd find him resting.
Used to visit.
You could smell him or you could sense the presence.
What were the names very of your bunny rabbits?
Snugglepot and Cuddle Pie.
I heard you whisper that you didn't bury it deep enough. Is that a lesson that you rectified the second time around?
We did by the time.
We Googled. You go a meter.
How did you discover that you didn't bury? Was it Snugglepot first?
Yeah, it was. No, we did.
How did you discover you didn't? Okay.
How long did a Cuddle Pie last after Snugglepot passed?
About a year, I think. Yeah. And then we buried him in the same spot.
Now they're together forever.
They are.
It's beautiful.
Susie's choking up. Sienna from Killarney Heights, what have you buried in the backyard?
Yeah, so I've had a lot of chickens and we buried our chickens. And kind of similar to Ariana, after one passes away, the rest quickly follow because unfortunately chickens quite often get depression after.
Do they?
Yeah, you have one chicken, they get depressed.
Sienna, actually, you'd know the answer to this because Hughes has been treating us to excerpts from Prince Harry's memoir. And in one of them, he talks about when he proposed to, he told the Queen he wanted to propose to Meghan and they were bird hunting at the time.
Yeah,
and
he was holding two dead birds.
And what did he say about the birds?
Their eyes rolled back in their
head. Does that happen, Sienna, to birds when they die? I would have thought their eyes are too little and beady to roll back in their head.
Yeah, well, with my chickens, some of them were attacked. Some of them died from the depression. They just closed their eyes.
They closed their eyes. See, that's not right, what Harry said. Birds don't have eyes that roll back in.
Well, you look, maybe it was artistic license. I don't know. It certainly was effective and really painted the picture of a time to ask your grandmother if you can marry someone while you're holding two dead birds.
Sienna, are you allowed to bury a dog in your backyard?
Yeah, well, I actually work for pet insurance at my job, and I've actually had customers call through about, wanting to cremate their pets because they don't believe they can actually bury their dogs, but you can actually bury their dogs. Yeah, there isn't actually too many laws in Australia about that. There are
really?
Couple of people, but not too many.
And that helps you as a pet insurer. So if they do bury their dogs in the backyard, you don't have to come up with any coin. Yeah. So it's fair to say, Sienna.
You want what's best for the pet parents and what's going to make their life a bit easier.
Yes. But also, obviously, you want what's best for your pet insurance company.
I mean, it doesn't really affect us too much because we're always happy to look after our pet parents.
You know what? But I prefer, Sienna, I reckon your money's better going to keeping those pets alive, though, isn't it? Rather than spending money once they've passed. So, yeah, that's fair to say, Sienna.
Yeah, whatever makes it easiest for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly right. Free shovel with every policy. Hughesy.
We're joined by our great friend, Jana Hocking. What is your official title? I mean, we all love you, but what is your official title? Do you have one?
New York Post calls me a dating guru.
The New York Post. We're talking international celebrity here.
She generates
clicks all over the world. She says something, she writes it down, and it is read in hundreds of
Give
countries.
Give us your stat, Jana, because Kate didn't hear it. Give us your stat from the other day.
I got the most read story in the New Zealand Herald last year for publicly admitting that I don't want kids and I find them really annoying.
Wow.
I think I read that article.
Yeah. Even though you've got four kids, Kate, you still respect that attitude.
I totally understand it because I've got four kids. Hey, Jana, if you're a dating guru, does that mean that you stay single?
I'm perennially single, but not by choice. I get messages of guys all the time saying, you choose to be single so you've got content. And I'm like, no, the scary thing is I don't. That's just how it's going.
Yeah, but you know what? You're taking, it's like you use... You know what? Michael Caine said something really wise once in an interview I saw on TikTok the other day. Use the difficulty.
Yes.
Use the difficulty. And your difficulty is the fact you can't find a man and you're using it well.
Lemons into lemonade, you know. No bad date is really a bad date because a bad date is content.
For you, but for other girls who end up with bad dates, is can be just devastating.
Right. Mm. And so we're trying to avoid that apparently through changes to the dating apps. What's happening on dating apps at the moment where people are, what's going on out there? None of us are on it because we've been in relationships before dating apps really started, haven't we?
Yeah.
Everyone here, Kate, you'd agree. You've been with your man for like 20 years or not longer.
And some people are in relationships and still on dating apps, but we don't believe any of us are in those relationships, Jana.
Well, I'll let you know if you are. If I spot them, I'll let you know. I've had to do that before. I've had to let a friend know her husband.
Double dibble.
Do you tell them? That's a great, juicy story.
Always tell them and always take a screenshot and send so you've got proof. Oh, yeah. You can't drop a bomb without proof. But yes, it's pretty grim out there on the dating apps at the moment. They have noticed a real rise in people getting abused while they're going on dates. And so
Is it angry men?
I would say mostly angry men. And I did a temperature check at a dinner party recently with all my single girlfriends. And I said, how many of you have been on a date through a dating app that has been a little bit scary, or there's been some major red flags, or you left it feeling a little bit upset? And it wasn't one or two, it was every single girl at that dinner party had been.
How many girls?
There were 10 girls. And a recent study said that a third of dating app users have had a scary experience through a date from the apps. I would say it's more, but at the moment there's 3 million Australians on the dating app. So that's at least a million people who have had a scary experience.
So did you have one particular that you can tell us about? Or?
Yeah, I went on one last year with a guy who I turned up and he was clearly, he had started the party early. So he was drunk. He was doing that, you know, where they open their throat and just throw the beer back. Oh. So I had had one wine in the space of him having three. When I decided it's probably time to get out of there. This was in a public space, in a busy bar, and he proceeded to abuse me and then send me, because we had, my mistake, but we had exchanged phone numbers. Oh. So then after I left, he kept calling, texting. I ended up blocking him. By the time I went on the dating app to report him, he had already unmatched, so I couldn't report him. Jump forward a month later, my friend has unknowingly gone on a date with him as well. She's ended up with a bite mark because he got so drunk he bit her as she was leaving. Jump forward a month after that, we're seeing him on the news for the third time. He's been taken to court for domestic violence.
Oh my goodness.
This is just one story.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
What is going on? What are they going to change in the dating app world to try to make women safer? Jana Hocking is an expert in the field of dating.
Mm-hmm.
Jana, you're still single. Are you on the apps as we speak?
No, I've jumped off them. They need to make stronger reform, bigger changes before I jump back on these dating apps.
So, but you went out with a guy who was an awful human being and you ended up seeing him in the news.
Yes.
And you weren't able to warn any of your girlfriends or anyone about his behaviour.
No, I couldn't report him. My next friend who went out with him, she couldn't report him. It's really easy for these guys, or in some cases women, to get away with it because it's really hard to report them. And it's also, even if you do report them, not much gets done.
Well, Sash, our producer, had a terrible incident with a guy and she tried to report. She reported him and never heard a word back from the app. Not an acknowledgement, nothing.
Yeah, I've seen these texts that he sent her and they're petrifying. I just don't understand how someone at the dating app companies didn't read those and go, wow, we need to jump on this.
Well, they would be so busy though because there's so many a-holes out there, I imagine.
Well,
and they want to make money.
You'd think they would want to keep the users of their app safe. And you'd think they've got a duty of care to do that, but they don't, Jana.
No, well, they say they do because every time I publicly speak about this, I get emails from all the dating app companies, of course.
Oh, what do they say?
They send me their dating guidelines and their tips and tricks to stay safe on the dating apps, which is don't get me wrong, there's some really good tips there, like go out and make sure you date in public, don't invite someone over to your house. I think most of us get that. I mean, it's still good to have a refresher, but they're taking no responsibility yes. for
things
people's
they
safety.
Could take responsibility so for they, because they're in the position to vet.
Yeah. Yep.
So are the government getting involved here? Or
they
what's happening?
Are. And they're coming down pretty strong. So they did have a round table on Wednesday. So they had a meeting with the dating app companies. They brought in some abuse survivors, the e-commerce commissioner, and various other experts to say, right, we need to make some big changes to make these dating apps safer. And while nothing is in concrete still, it's at least got the conversation started. So
what are they saying they might do?
So the New South Wales government wants criminal checks available.
Yes.
So, I think at the very least that
yes,
should be.
Of course.
There's they want to people to be able to check if the person they're about to go on a date with has any domestic violence charges, any sexual abuse.
Surely that's not unreasonable.
I don't think it's unreasonable. So hopefully that comes into place.
So
I think,
on dating apps, can I ask this, do you have to put your actual ID there, like a proper ID on your site or not?
No, you don't have to be verified.
So you,
and
so
I know
you can
this,
pretend you're anyone that you're not at this point.
Oh, there are five different people pretending to be me on the dating apps at the moment.
Oh, my God.
I always get sent screenshots from people. I've had there's someone in England pretending to be me. Apparently, my name is Anna and I'm 45, low-key offended because I'm 38. How dare they? Wow. But there's so many catfish and there's so many stories of people turning up to dates with people who they've seen their pictures of, they're, yes. you know, 6'2", yeah, yeah. and they're 39, and they turn up and it's like a 58-year-old who's 5'3".
Surely, as Kate, you say, it's to the benefit of the dating app to be legit and to make sure you're legit, everyone who's on your site.
Well, you would think, but they obviously favour volume over taking any responsibility.
Why have one, Jenna, when you could have four? thank you. You can read jennahockingnews.com.au. It is news time. Still a lot coming up, including...
Well, only one of the stars of a film that just clicked over $2 billion. One of the stars of Avatar is a Sydney lad who is now all around the world. He's a friend of ours. And we need to ask him, what's it like, man?
Hughie, Ed and Erin.
So Prince Harry's autobiography, Spare, fastest selling non-fiction book in history. I've really enjoyed
it. Faster than Michelle Obama's.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I've really enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, so have we all.
Yeah, well.
Via you.
We're playing little bits from his own reading of the book. It's available to whatever, download or whatever. So, look, he's left the royal family with Meghan and he's over in America now. And what he was really annoyed about is that they cut off his security. Here's him saying that.
Above all, I was desperate to keep security. That was what worried me most. My family's physical safety.
The thing about Harry is he's not very self-aware. And I'm going to say, I'm going to put it out there, he's an idiot. And I really enjoyed the book. But so if you want your family to be safe, would you talk about how many people you killed when you're in Afghanistan? I don't reckon you would.
No, I don't.
A lot of the army people say you shouldn't.
Army people never talk about that stuff.
Well, he did in the book. Have a listen.
I could always say precisely how many enemy combatants I'd killed, and I felt it vital never to shy away from that number. Among the many things I learned in the army, accountability was near the top of the list. So, my number, 25.
25. And he talks about, because he was a chopper pilot, and he was the guy pulling the trigger. So he was, he talks about it being like a video game, where he's just flying up there going bang, 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 bang.
How respectful.
Yes, well, security. Remember?
Yeah, security.
He needs security.
Top priority.
And also, the commercial deals he did.
Yes.
Why did he do them?
We'd signed several corporate partnerships, which would give us the chance to resume our work, to spotlight the causes we cared about, to tell the stories we felt were vital, and to pay for our security.
Oh, right. Okay.
Tell the stories he cares about.
What are the stories he cares about?
The fact that he hates his brother.
He
hates his stepmom, basically.
And that his brother's going bald.
Yes. So
balder than him.
Yeah. But what I didn't realise, which is weird, is how much security has Harry had his whole life?
I pleaded for continuation of the same armed police protection I'd had and needed since birth. I'd never been allowed to go anywhere without three armed bodyguards. even when I was supposedly the most popular member of the family.
He's had
supposedly the most popular.
Three blokes with guns around him the whole time.
Were they with him in Afghanistan?
I'm not sure. But yeah, tell you what, apart from war zones, they have seen a man having a party. Oh. This is just a tiny taste of what he talks about, what he's been up to in these 38 years.
More tequila and more mushrooms. Someone handed me a joint. Lovely. You're in the States now, pal. Have a real drink. Have a tequila. We spotted a huge box of black diamond mushroom chocolates. We were often tipsy and sometimes smashed. Fancy schmancy tequila. Glasses were floating towards me containing tequila in every form. The next morning we ordered breakfast, Bloody Marys. I floated through that day on a pink cloud of tequila fumes. Pass the spliff, mate. I took a big hit and gazed up at the moon, drinking whiskey and gobbling chocolate for energy. I had been doing cocaine around this time. I'd been offered a line and I'd done a few more since. I believe that was also the night I smoked an entire shopping bag of weed.
Has he imagined? Has he imagined those three security guards?
Wow!
Do they exist, these people?
I don't know, but my God, how he's had a party.
How many stars?
I give it 5 stars.
Yeah, baby!
Credit to the Ghost Rider.
Credit to the Ghost Rider, and credit to our guest, in a moment, who Brendan Cowell, who is starring in Avatar The Way of Water. It's in cinemas now. It's crossed the $2 billion mark.
Yeah, top 5 box office films of all time. There's got a couple more in the works, which I believe Brendan will be in. Yep. What's it like?
Yes. What's it like?
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
Brendan Cowell. Woo! Joins us all the way from London. Brendan, we are...
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, we're great. Are we great?
We're so good. Probably not quite as good as you because you are top of the world.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's amazing this... I know Husey's been following it quite closely, but to be part of a film that's done this well is wild. Like, coming from making, I've made a lot of stuff in Australia and I've made my own movies. And when the movie comes out, I'm always waiting for people to text me and someone will go, oh, Brendo, I saw the poster. Or, you know, or two people will go, Brendo, I saw it on at the Dendy. And then someone will go, I went to see it, but it's not on anymore. It's so different. It's so different with Avatar where I had 100 text messages in a week of people going, I saw it. It's amazing. How's your arm? Mm. You know, and I went, oh, so this is what it's like to be part of a hit movie. Like, it's very different.
And it's still going, mate, as in, like, the legs that these James Cameron films have are amazing. Speaking to someone the other night, said I'm waiting to see it. People are still waiting.
Yes.
They're going to see it properly. They're going to see it in the 3D. And you talked to us, you know, quite a while ago saying, you know, just you say, I'm just, by the way, I'm in the new Avatar. And I'm like, what? Mm. You're in the new Avatar? Mm-hmm. And it's, I was talking to Sam Worthington about your role. He was, you know that James Cameron asked Sam about you. And did you realize,
no,
you know,
I
the opportunity
know
that was coming
yes.
for you?
Yes.
What did he ask? Is he?
Oh, you
yeah,
am I telling you something?
Yes, this he doesn't big. Know.
This yeah, oh, big. You didn't know.
No.
Yeah, right.
No idea.
No, Sam. James asked Sam about you, and Sam said he told me that he told James that you were a good guy, and so like you, Sam gave the seal of approval to you, which helped you get across the line. Apparently, with James Cameron, how nervous were you in the audition process?
Oh, it was really surreal because I was playing Galileo on the West End here in London, and it was in the round, and Chemical Brothers did the soundtrack, and it was like this big show, and I kind of ran around for 3 hours with a shaved head, and I used the audience. It was like this full-scale thing, and the casting director saw it, and he was looking for a character that could really command the ship, you know, but also be quite real, and she goes, I've seen this guy. And so I got flown over to LA and the audition went for 3 days and I had to, learn like 23 pages in a room with a dude watching me, like no phone, and then go home, come back the next day, meet with James. And then on the third day I was on the live action set.
Because of security for the script, you couldn't take a copy with you.
Oh, God, no. No, it was bolted to this table. And, yeah, wow. You know, they were worried I'd take a photo of it with my forehead or something. You know what I mean? Like, they were just terrified. And so I had to kind of learn this thing. And then on the third day, I'm on the live action set with the live action actors and 9 cameras and the whole blue thing. And James kept saying, you know, I wrote this character as, you know, 60 and Scottish, but maybe he's 40 and Australian. And I'm like, I reckon he's 40 and Australian, Jim. I just had the first 40 Australian. And I kept, you know, I couldn't quite get it. I couldn't quite get it. And then, you know, it's quite a personal tale, but my grandmother had passed away only 2 days before it. And I really just, on the second break we had, I went out and I went, do you know what? I'm going to go back and to my nan's funeral, and she would have been so proud of me that I got this far. I don't care if I get this or not. I'm just going to go in and shake it up. And I went in and just fucking went for it. I was improvising, pushing dudes around and putting in lots of my own Aussie-isms and stuff. And all of a sudden, Jim picked up the camera and went, I think the captain's in the room. And the casting director was like, I think the captain's in the room. I think the captain's in the room. And suddenly, you know. The captain was in the room, and I kind of used that, but I didn't hear for another 6 months, so I'd kind of forgotten about it. But but he's just a big kid, Jim. So he actually makes you feel very comfortable right away, you know.
Yeah, but you know what, mate? The fact is, it could have bombed. You know, people were death riding it. A lot of people hoping it bombed because the first one was such a hit. But have you watched its success? I mean, I've been looking at the box office takings every day, like I'm barracking for it, like it's my favourite football team. But have you been watching it rise and rise and rise? And when it got to $2 billion, did you know?
Well, yeah, I got a message and he sent the Jim and John, the producers, sent all the cast this video message. I thought it would be that they got nominated for an Oscar because I'm in a movie that got nominated for an Oscar. That's ridiculous to me, is that I'm in a film that got nominated for an Oscar. You know, I'm from Cronulla, you know, like what is going on, you know? But I thought that was what the message was. And they're like, no, guys, we've passed the $2 billion mark. I'm like, oh, this is about money. Absolutely, right. You know,
did you just get the message or did you get a hamper?
I got a hamper when I arrived there. Jim's a vegan and he's very spiritual, so I kind of got a vegan spiritual hamper. The catering was vegan because it means you can concentrate longer. But no, a lot of the look, I don't really read reviews at all in anything I do. I don't make them part of my process. But I know a few people were funny about it, and it's very long. And I suggest people do a wee in the second whale montage. I think it's a great place to go out and take your wee there. But, you know, it's just because we've been stuck indoors, we haven't been in big cinemas next to each other. Jim just loves cinema and he wants everyone to love each other. And you can say what you want about Jim. That's all he wants to do. He just wants you to love each other and go to the movies, you know, and that's what this movie is for.
And there's
Brendan
more.
Cowell.
There's more to come. The next one's, is it going to be out this year? Do you know or not?
Well, we shot 2 and 3 at the same time, and that's why it took, you know, the 5 or 6 years. And so we've got a little bit more shooting to do on 3, and it's out there in the press, so I don't think I'll get eaten by a blue person by saying I'm in the next one. I've just got a little bit to do on the next one, but that'll come out, I think, Christmas 24. But you know, I'm not a part of the marketing department, so don't quote me. And you know, it's not like we're on live radio or anything. So
what could happen?
Brendan Cowell, congratulations! Brilliant. The Avatar: Way of Water is in cinemas right about now.
We might hear a bit more from Brendan on our podcast.
Okay,
actually.
Great.
So yeah, right. Look out for the podcast to drop.
All right, thank you, Mr. Cowell.
Susie, Ed, and Aaron.